This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy and features real testimonials.
This was our first time trying therapy, and honestly, it was long overdue. Looking back, we just wish we had started sooner.
Regain's qualified therapists help couples when they can't get there on their own.
We thought it was intimacy issues, but Andrea helped us uncover a deeper root cause we hadn't even realized was there.
Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. Regain, couples therapy that works.
Coverage varies by plan. View contracts and exclusions at endurancewarranty.com.
If you're driving a car or truck with an expired warranty and suddenly lost your transmission or needed a full engine repair, would a $4,000 repair bill leave you stranded? I'm Danica Patrick. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Choose the company I trust. Endurance. No matter the mileage, if your vehicle is less than 20 years old, Endurance offers comprehensive auto protection plans for any budget. Protection on the drivetrain, electrical, transmission, AC, and more. Plus, benefits like 24/7 roadside assistance and rental car reimbursement on any plan. Endurance handles everything from making the claim through the repair process to paying the certified mechanic of your choice. Don't get caught off guard with a vehicle breakdown. Act now and get one full year of elite benefits, a $2,000 value, free.
Visit endurancewarranty.com for your fast free quote today. That's endurancewarranty.com.
Neighbor, what's the creepiest thing you discovered about someone living next door? Completely by accident. Story one. I moved into my new apartment in early spring. The unit next to mine was listed as vacant, but I kept hearing odd scraping noises from that side every night around 2 a.m. Not loud, just rhythmic. I chalked it up to the building settling until I accidentally got a package meant for them. The label said J. Ruther, Unit 7B, but 7B was supposed to be empty. Curious, and admittedly a little creeped out, I went to knock. No one answered, but I noticed the door was slightly ajar. I should have turned around, but I pushed it open just a little, just to call inside. The smell hit me first. Damp earth and something metallic. The apartment was pitch black, no furniture, just dozens of tiny jars lining the floor, filled with what looked like teeth. I backed out and called management. They said no one had leased 7B for over a year. When they finally entered with a maintenance guy, all the jars were gone. Just the smell remained. A week later, a note was slid under my door. Mind your own. I moved within the month. Story two. Our elderly neighbor, Mrs. Luntz, was quiet and kind, always giving kids candy and waving from her porch. Everyone thought she lived alone. One summer, during a blackout, I saw candlelight flickering from her upstairs window and thought maybe she needed help. I went over. Knocked. No answer. The front door was unlocked. I stepped in, calling her name. The house was eerily clean. Too clean. Like no one had lived in it for weeks. Dusty. Cold. I was about to leave when I heard whispering from upstairs. I followed the sound. It led me to a closet door at the end of the hallway. I opened it slowly, only to find a tiny room, mattress on the floor, and photos pinned up, pictures of neighborhood kids, taken through windows. Some of me. Then, a voice behind me. She's not here right now. A man, pale and barefoot, with long, stringy hair. I bolted and called the police. Turns out Mrs. Luntz had a son she never mentioned, schizophrenic, off his meds, living in that hidden room, watching. They took him away, and she was forced to move. I still check my windows at night. Story three. I was dog-sitting for my neighbor while she was on vacation. She was a sweet woman in her 40s, lived alone, super tidy. The dog, an older retriever, was friendly, but he refused to go into the basement. Every time I opened the door, he growled. I figured maybe he just didn't like stairs. One evening, curiosity got the best of me. I went downstairs just to see. At first, it was just boxes and storage. Then I saw a whole setup in the far corner, a chair, restraints, and shelves of VHS tapes, hundreds of them, labeled by date. I played one. It was her, sitting silently, staring into the camera for hours. No speaking, no blinking. Then a whisper, "Don't come down here again." I turned it off. When she returned, I mentioned the tapes casually, just to see her reaction. She smiled and said, "Oh, you weren't supposed to go down there, nothing more." I returned her key and never went near that house again. Story four. My roommate and I used to smoke on the balcony at night, overlooking the neighboring apartment complex. One night, we noticed a window with no curtains that always had a faint blue glow, like a TV screen left on. Except the image never changed. Eventually, we got binoculars. What we saw was disturbing. A mannequin, dressed in different clothes each night, sometimes in wigs, sometimes posed in a chair, sometimes by the window, facing out like it was watching us. Once we saw it holding a photo. Through the zoom, we realized it was a picture of our balcony. We freaked and called the building's management. They claimed the unit was sealed off, flood damage, completely uninhabited. A week later, the mannequin was gone. But on our balcony table, there was a Polaroid of us, sitting with the binoculars. We moved by the end of the lease. Story 5. We had a neighbor who never came outside during the day. He only left at night, always around 3 a.m., in a beat-up Toyota. Every time I tried to wave, he'd pretend not to see me. The whole street joked he was a vampire. One day I was walking my dog past his garage when I heard humming. Low, mechanical humming. The garage door was cracked open, so I peeked in. What I saw still haunts me. Inside were shelves lined with jars of preserved animals. Cats, birds, even a small deer. But they weren't just preserved. They were modified. One cat had doll eyes stitched in. A pigeon had wires running through its wings. Taxidermy, but twisted. Then I saw a mannequin. No, not a mannequin, because it blinked. A girl, maybe 16, frozen, staring at me, muzzled, hands restrained. I stumbled back, screaming. By the time police arrived, the garage was empty, scrubbed clean. The man was gone, vanished. They never found him. But 2 weeks later, a pigeon with wire wings landed on my porch and didn't move for hours. Story 6. Back in college, I rented a room in a triplex. The top unit was empty most of the time, but the landlord said the guy who rented it worked long hours and traveled often. So when I started hearing dragging sounds from upstairs at night, I figured he was just back for a few days. One night, my ceiling light began flickering. I went to check the breaker panel, which was in a shared hallway, and heard something above me. Not footsteps. Something heavier, like furniture being shoved slowly across the floor. The next day, I asked the landlord if the upstairs guy was back. He looked confused and said, "No, he hasn't been here in over 2 months." That night, I couldn't sleep. At around 2 a.m., I saw dust falling from a vent above my bed. I turned off the light and listened. Very faint breathing. Coming from the vent. I called the landlord, who called the cops. When they busted open the upstairs unit, they found a makeshift bed behind a false wall in the closet, and rotten food. Someone had been living in the ceiling crawl space. Not the tenant. He was squatting, watching me through the vents. Story 7. A few years ago, our neighbor, Mr. Garland, passed away. He was a retired art teacher, lived alone, very polite. His house sat empty for weeks until the family came to clean it out. One afternoon, I saw someone dragging boxes out of his garage and stacking them on the curb for trash pickup. One box fell open. Curiosity got me. I peeked inside. It was full of photos, hundreds, but they weren't family pictures. They were of people, nearly all of them women, taken through windows, from bushes, or zoomed in from cars, all in our neighborhood. Some were decades old. Even worse, I found sketches, dozens of drawings of the same woman in different poses. In some, she was tied up. In others, she was dismembered. The woman was our former babysitter. She disappeared in 1997. It had been unsolved for over 20 years. I called the police. They confirmed it was her. They found hair and bone fragments under his crawl space. Turns out Mr. Garland had lived here long before any of us. And we never knew what he'd done. Story 8. We had a neighbor named Kevin, tech guy. Very normal, always had packages delivered, always wore the same gray hoodie. He kept to himself. Then one day, a package meant for him got dropped at my house by mistake. I walked it over, but as I got to the door, I heard loud sobbing inside. It was a man's voice, but the words were strange. "I'm sorry. Please let me out. I'll be good this time." It chilled me. I knocked. The sobbing stopped. Then I heard the door lock click softly, like someone was holding the knob from the inside. I left the package and walked away. Later that week, I got a message on the neighborhood app. Anyone seen Kevin? He hadn't left his house in over 10 days. Cops came. They went in and found something horrifying. Kevin had constructed a second version of himself in the basement, like a doll, life-sized, silicone skin, same hair, same hoodie, even the same shoes. And he was filming himself, punishing it, berating it, locking it in a crate, then comforting it afterward. No real person had been hurt, but he had essentially created a twin to torture. He was taken for psychiatric evaluation. The house was condemned. Still gives me nightmares. Story 9. My neighbor was an older man named Jack. Harmless guy. A little eccentric, always gardening at night with a headlamp. One day I got a new metal detector as a gift and decided to test it out in my backyard. As I got closer to the fence we shared, the thing started beeping like crazy. I assumed it was just piping or junk until I dug down and found a thick plastic bag full of animal bones and a child's bracelet. Freaked out, I called the police. They searched his yard, found 6 more bags, all buried neatly around the perimeter of his garden. Jack was arrested. At trial, he admitted to digging up graves as a younger man for ritual purposes, said he believed bones helped protect his property. DNA linked one set of bones to a missing.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
This is an ad by Regain Couples Therapy. Let's be honest. Loving your partner doesn't mean you always like them, and guess what? That's normal. Regain, powered by BetterHelp, offers couples therapy that's flexible, affordable, and 100% online. Whether you're reconnecting or working through conflict, Regain is here to support you both. See why people wish they'd tried couples therapy sooner. Visit regain.com/couplespod to get 10% off your first month. That's regain.com/couplespod.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free, select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help. You save. Rebate in form of Visa gift card equal to 100% off the second eligible item purchased before or after applicable discounts, if any. See details. Offer ends 7/9.
Boy from 1985. We tore the fence down and left that side of the yard bare. Nothing grows there anymore. Story 10. One summer, I noticed my neighbor's daughter, maybe 10 or 11, always playing outside alone. She'd be in the yard all day, never going in, never eating. I figured the parents were just laid back. Then I started hearing her talking, but no one ever answered. Just her having full conversations. I assumed imaginary friend stuff, until one day I heard a deep voice respond. I looked out my window and saw her talking to the open basement window of their house. Eventually, I asked the mom about it. She gave me a strained smile and said, "She's imaginative. That's all." 2 weeks later, the house was surrounded by police. Turns out the girl had discovered her dad's friend chained up in the basement. He was hiding a fugitive, some guy he'd met online who believed he was a prophet. The guy had been living in that basement for nearly a year. The girl thought it was a game. We never saw the family again after that. Story 11. I lived in a small duplex, and my neighbor on the other side was a woman named Tanya. She was quiet. Always wore a long robe when she got the mail and never spoke to anyone. But every night at exactly 1:11 a.m., she'd turn on this strange lullaby. You could hear it clearly through the wall. Always the same eerie melody, like something from an old toy box. One night I woke up thirsty and went to get water. As I passed the window, I saw Tanya standing in the middle of her yard, facing my house, swaying slightly, just staring. I ducked, waited a few minutes. When I looked again, she was gone. Curiosity got the better of me the next day, so I peeked into her backyard. I expected maybe a garden. What I saw was a row of children's shoes, neatly lined up, dozens of them, all worn, all different sizes. No kids lived there. I called the property manager anonymously. A few days later, Tanya was gone. The house was listed again. I asked the maintenance guy what happened. He said when they cleared out the basement, they found a sealed crawl space, full of toys, old children's clothing, and hundreds of cassette tapes, each labeled by date, each with the same lullaby. Story 12. My neighbor was a very ordinary-looking middle-aged man, wore polos, drove a Corolla, waved every morning, the kind of guy you forget about 5 seconds after meeting. His name was Dan. One day, I was walking my dog and saw Dan's garage open, which was rare. He wasn't around, but I noticed something inside. A giant cork board completely covered in strings, photos, newspaper clippings of our block. I stepped closer and saw that every house had detailed notes, movements, visitors, schedules. Even my house had dozens of notes attached, what time my lights turned off, when I walked the dog, what I ordered online. Right as I was reading, I heard a voice behind me say, "You're not supposed to see that, Dan." I mumbled an excuse and walked away quickly. The next day, the garage was shut, completely cleaned out. A week later, Dan moved out without saying a word. Cops said no crime had technically been committed, so nothing came of it. But for months after, I felt watched. Still do. Story 13. In our apartment building, one guy on the fifth floor always had incense burning. You could smell it every night, sweet, thick, and overwhelming. Everyone assumed he was into spiritual stuff or just hiding the smell of weed. One night, a fire alarm went off. Everyone evacuated except him. The fire crew broke down his door and immediately backed out. I caught a glimpse inside before they sealed it off. The walls were covered in photos of the same woman, repeated hundreds of times. Some were drawings. Some were taken through windows. Some were collages made of cut-up magazines, all to form her face. The creepiest part? The woman lived in our building. She was a neighbor. A totally normal, cheerful woman in 3B. She'd had no idea, never even spoken to him. The fireman found a mannequin in his bed, dressed in a shirt she once wore in an Instagram post. He was arrested for stalking and trespassing. We all watched her move out the next day, pale and shaken. Story 14. I used to babysit for a couple across the street. Nice people. Very tidy house. Their son was a quiet boy. Liked puzzles and cartoons. One day, while they were out and he was napping, I got bored and wandered into the study to find a book. I opened a cabinet and found several thick, leather-bound notebooks, all labeled Subject Number 7, Subject Number 8, and so on. Inside were detailed logs, entries, psychological notes about every movement and reaction the boy had shown, down to how he responded to eye contact, what he ate, how long he cried when left alone. At first, I thought they were just weirdly into parenting science, but then I found photos, old ones. The boy, yes, but also other children, different ones, and different houses, and always the same pattern. Notes, photos, logs. The kid they had now was Subject Number 13. I quit on the spot. I've never stopped wondering, where are subjects 1 through 12? Story 15. When I was 16, my bedroom window faced my neighbor's attic window. I never saw anyone go up there, but sometimes I'd catch glimpses of light flickering from that window at night, like candlelight. One evening during a storm, the power went out, and I saw the attic light turn on. Creeped out, I stared a little too long and saw a face, pale, expressionless, inches from the glass, just watching me. I gasped and ran to get my dad, but when we looked back, the light was off. The face was gone. He told me I was imagining things, but it happened again and again, always during storms. Eventually, I told my friend, whose uncle was a local cop. He offered to go ask the neighbor if they were all right, since we never saw them much. Turns out the owner had passed away 2 years prior. The house had been inherited but left unoccupied, no electricity connected. So what was lighting that attic? And who was watching me? Story 16. I used to live in a small cul-de-sac, and our newest neighbor was a man named Rob. Very reserved. Drove an old hearse. Said he was a collector of antique funeral equipment, which was odd but not illegal. One morning while walking my dog, I noticed Rob had left the back of the hearse open. Inside were several mannequin-like figures wrapped in linen and posed like they were asleep, too realistic. I stared for a while before Rob came out of the garage and quickly shut the door. He smiled and said, "They don't like the sun." I laughed nervously and walked away. A week later, a foul smell hit the neighborhood. We assumed it was a dead animal until a neighbor's dog started scratching at Rob's flower bed. When animal control came, they unearthed something wrapped in linen. Not a mannequin. It was a woman, preserved like a mummy. Turns out Rob had a morbid obsession. He had exhumed bodies, at least three, and kept them posed in his garage for historical tribute. The rest were buried around his property, like garden statues. I moved out the following month. Story 17. I rented an apartment next to a woman named Julia. She was always polite, but extremely private. The only strange thing was that her lights never turned off. Ever. Even during the day, curtains always drawn, like she was hiding something. One night, I came home late and found her door slightly open. There was a terrible buzzing sound, like dozens of flies. I knocked gently, got no answer, and peeked in. The apartment was filled wall to wall with jars, hundreds of them, all filled with a yellowish liquid and insects. Preserved bugs, moths, beetles, spiders, labeled meticulously with Latin names and dates, but that wasn't the disturbing part. In the living room was a life-sized wax figure of Julia, or someone who looked exactly like her, sitting in a rocking chair, smiling. Then the real Julia walked in behind me. Calm, too calm. She just said, "I see you met her." I backed out and mumbled an apology. She never brought it up again. But after she moved out, the landlord said he never found the wax figure. Just a melted mess and hundreds of dead insects stuck to the walls. Story 18. There was an elderly man in our neighborhood named Mr. Hill. Lived alone. Always fed the birds. He had this old shed in his backyard that no one had ever seen inside, not even when he had yard sales. The windows were painted black. After he passed, the city came to inspect the property. My friend worked with them and let me tag along. We finally got to see what was inside the infamous shed. Inside, it was cold, too cold for summer. The walls were lined with hundreds of tiny bones, glued in decorative patterns, like wallpaper. And hanging from the ceiling were strings of feathers and claws. At first, we thought he was just obsessed with birds. Then we found the freezer. Inside were dozens of labeled bags, dates, species, even nicknames. Sparky, Little Red, Sweet Peep. But not all of them were birds. Some had rodent bones. One had small teeth, human teeth. Authorities couldn't confirm if they were from actual people, but the coroner said the roots and enamel looked disturbingly human. The shed was burned. No explanation was ever released. Story 19. When I was 14, our neighbor across the street passed away suddenly. She had no family nearby, so her house sat untouched for weeks. Eventually, her nephew arrived to clear out her belongings. He put a bunch of stuff on the curb, furniture, boxes, and an old dresser with a locked drawer. I was curious and took the dresser home, thinking it would be cool to restore. I pried the drawer open that night. Inside were dozens of Polaroids. All of them featured babies, infants in cribs, some crying, some sleeping, some clearly unwell. On the back of each photo were names and dates. The earliest one was from 1971. The most recent was just 4 years before she died. I turned them into the police. A week later, they reopened a decades-old investigation. That sweet old woman had worked in a neonatal care unit in the 70s and 80s, right when several unexplained infant deaths had occurred. They believe she kept trophies. Her obituary quietly disappeared from the papers. Story 20. When I moved into my first apartment, my next-door neighbor was a man named Eric. He was always impeccably dressed, worked from home, and had a very strict routine. Coffee at 6:30, vacuuming at 7, lights off by 9. One day, I received a letter in my mailbox. No return address. It was handwritten and read. "Eric is not Eric. Count how many times he blinks." I laughed it off. Weird prank, right? But then I started noticing he didn't blink. I'd see him through the peephole or the hallway window and could stare at him for minutes, and his eyes stayed wide open, staring, unmoving. I started recording him. One video lasted 12 minutes, no blinking, no fidgeting, not even breathing, really. Then I got another letter. He knows you're watching. That night, someone knocked on my door. I didn't answer. Hours passed. The knocking stopped. The next morning, Eric's apartment was empty. Door wide open, no furniture, just a chair facing the wall. The landlord swore no one had lived there in 6 months. Story 21. My neighbor was a retired marine biologist named Victor. Lived alone, very reclusive. We'd occasionally see him watering his plants or unloading odd equipment from his van. Metal tanks, bundles of tubing, that sort of thing. One summer, our apartment building had a pipe burst, and water leaked into Victor's basement unit. Maintenance asked me to help move things while they repaired the damage. His door was unlocked. When we entered, we were hit with the smell. Strong, fishy, salty. The apartment was humid, almost tropical. The windows were sealed with black plastic. What we found was something out of a nightmare. Giant aquariums filled with strange, unrecognizable creatures. Some looked like eels with translucent skin. Others had no eyes and pulsated when we came near. One tank held what looked like a malformed fetus with gills. Victor came home midway through. Calmly told us they were hybrids. Said he'd been breeding purity back into extinction. We left immediately. The landlord evicted him quietly 2 weeks later. The health department sealed off the unit. But every few nights, I still hear a low, bubbling hum through the floorboards. Story 22. Back in high school, my buddy and I were helping his elderly neighbor, Mr. Donovan, clean out his attic before he moved to assisted living. His house was ancient and cluttered with decades of junk. While lifting some boxes, we found a door in the attic floor, small, like a crawlspace hatch. Mr. Donovan said he didn't know it was there. We pried it open, expecting old wiring or maybe a forgotten suitcase. What we found was a perfectly preserved child's bedroom. Tiny bed, toys from the 60s, dusty shelves with books. A tea set sat on a table like it had just been used. But the room had no entrance, no stairs, no ladder, no way for a child to ever enter or leave without crawling through the floor. On the desk was a journal. The entries were repetitive. Why won't Daddy let me out today? I miss the sun. Daddy says I'm special. The last entry said, he says I'm not real, but I know I am. Mr. Donovan didn't react. He just stared and said, she was never supposed to write it down. We left immediately. To this day, we don't know who she was, or if she ever existed. Story 23. I moved into a small fourplex unit, and my bedroom shared a wall with an older woman named Connie. Every night around 3 a.m., I'd hear humming. It was always the same melody, slow, eerie, like a lullaby. One night, I couldn't sleep, so I knocked on her door to ask about the sound. She opened the door and looked surprised. You can hear it too? She asked. That's when she pulled me inside and showed me something I'll never forget. One wall of her bedroom was covered with index cards. Hundreds of them. Each one had a date and the same phrase. She sang again. She told me the humming didn't come from her. It came from the wall. From the unit that was sealed years ago after a fire killed a woman and her baby. There was no way for sound to travel through that part of the building. It had been reinforced and bricked in. I thought she was losing her mind. Until I heard it again that night. And this time it was a baby crying too. Story 24. Our neighbor Greg was obsessed with Halloween. He had decorations up by mid-September every year. Giant animatronics, fog machines, screams echoing through speakers at night. We all thought he just loved the holiday, until he moved out suddenly. A week after he left, I noticed a box on the curb labeled props-attic. I peeked inside out of curiosity. At first, it looked like fake body parts, silicone arms, bloody wigs, plastic eyes. But then I touched one. It was real. Dried out, yes, but real. The skin felt leathery. The hair was embedded in scalp. I called the cops. They searched the property. In the attic, behind insulation, they found a secret compartment with dozens of props hanging from hooks. Turns out, Greg had been buying preserved human remains off the dark web. Skulls, bones, even full torsos. He called them art installations. The new tenants refused to live there and left after two nights. I don't blame them. Story 25. I used to play with a kid named Rory who lived next door. His family was weird, super strict. He was never allowed inside anyone's house, and if he was 5 minutes late coming home, his dad would storm out and drag him back. One time, we were playing hide and seek, and Rory suggested hiding in his garage. I agreed. We crept in and shut the door. That's when I saw it. The far wall of the garage had cages, metal ones, like for animals, but bigger. And inside one of them was a mattress, blankets, a plastic toilet. I asked Rory what it was. He said, "That's where Daddy goes when he's bad." I laughed nervously, thinking he meant punishment or something. But Rory didn't laugh. Later that night, I told my mom. She told the school counselor. Authorities got involved. Turns out, Rory's father had been locking himself in there voluntarily, recording himself going through deprivation therapy to cleanse his sins. He'd done it to Rory, too, for hours at a time. They took Rory away. I never saw him again. But sometimes when I pass that house, I swear I hear whispering from the garage. Story 26. I used to live in a duplex where the wall was paper thin. My neighbor was a soft-spoken woman named Grace, probably in her 50s, who always wore gardening gloves, even inside. She kept to herself, never caused problems. One day, I got home early from work and heard something unusual through the wall, multiple voices. Not arguing, just talking. Conversational. Except Grace lived alone. Curious, I walked around to her side, hoping to say hi and maybe satisfy my suspicion. The door was open slightly. I knocked. No answer. I called her name. Still nothing. I pushed the door open and saw her sitting at the kitchen table, completely still. Around her were mannequins, maybe 10 of them. Each seated in a chair, positioned like they were having a tea party. All had human wigs, dressed in real clothing. One of them had on a hoodie that looked exactly like one I had donated to Goodwill weeks earlier. Grace turned slowly and said, "We were just waiting on you." I backed out and left immediately. She moved out not long after. But the really creepy part? A few weeks later, someone broke into my garage. Nothing was stolen. But sitting on my workbench was a teacup. Clean, empty, waiting. Story 27. I lived in a rental house during college. And the neighbor on one side was this super old guy who didn't talk much. His backyard was overgrown, and his windows were always blocked out with newspapers. One day, our Wi-Fi signal dropped, and my roommate suggested maybe we could piggyback on the neighbors until it came back. I laughed and said good luck. He probably didn't even have a computer. Out of curiosity, we checked for nearby networks. One popped up called, "I'm inside your walls." Thinking it was a prank, we clicked connect. It required no password. Immediately, our laptop camera light blinked on. Then, a message appeared. "You shouldn't have done that." We freaked out and unplugged everything. The next morning, the neighbor's house was empty, like completely abandoned. No furniture, no dishes, just walls lined with aluminum foil and a single mattress. We called the landlord, who said he hadn't paid rent in over 6 months and no one had been able to reach him. To this day, I don't know who or what was in that house. But I changed all my passwords and never connected to a stranger's network again. Story 28. My husband and I moved into a house next to an elderly couple who had lived there since the 1960s. Sweet, gentle people. Always invited us to neighborhood events. Their house was spotless and full of antiques. One Halloween, they invited us in for cider and stories. Everything was lovely until the husband, Arthur, showed us a box of mementos from their early marriage. Old letters, dried flowers, a silver ring with initials we didn't recognize. Then we saw the photos. Black and white Polaroids. Dozens of them. People bound and gagged, eyes wide, some in basements, some in fields, all terrified. Arthur chuckled and said, "She was the real artist." Nodding to his wife, "You wouldn't believe how hard it was to get expressions like that." We stared in horror, waiting for them to say it was a joke. They didn't. We made excuses and left. The next day, their house was locked up. No answer. By the weekend, a moving truck came and cleared everything out. We tried contacting the police, but the couple had disappeared. No records, no forwarding address, not even their names on file with the homeowners association. It's like they were never real. Story 29. I was staying in a short-term rental while working a job out of state. The unit was part of a quiet suburban duplex. My neighbor was a man in his late 30s, polite, but always looked exhausted. Every morning at 4:13 a.m., I'd hear the same sound, a loud, dragging noise from his side, followed by a single, sharp bang. It happened every day. I recorded it, timed it, perfectly consistent. Eventually, I asked him about it. He paused, looked me dead in the eyes, and said, "If you hear three bangs, call the police. Don't wait. Three means it got out." Then he walked back into his unit like nothing happened. I never heard three bangs, but one night I heard none. Silence. I stayed up all night waiting. At 6 a.m., I looked outside and saw his front door wide open. I called the police. They found his apartment in shambles, deep gouges on the walls, blood smears, and a steel door in the back bedroom that looked like it had been torn open from the inside. They never found him. That day was the last time I ever rented anything from that app. Story 30. When I was 11, I had a neighbor named Nora who always wore white. She lived alone and claimed to be a spiritualist. She'd offer to cleanse your house for a small fee, but most neighbors just avoided her. One day, my mom got desperate after a string of bad luck and invited Nora in. Nora walked through our home with bells and whispered chants. When she reached my room, she froze and said, "It's already here." We laughed, thinking she was being dramatic. But that night, I woke up to Nora standing at the foot of my bed. Not joking, not a dream. She held a bundle of burning sage and said, "Don't move. It hasn't noticed you yet." My parents called the police. She was arrested for trespassing and never came near us again. Years later, when I was cleaning out my closet, I found a jar tucked behind the wall, sealed with wax, full of ash, hair, and what looked like teeth. There was a note tied around it. "If broken, it will return." I haven't touched it. Story 31. My upstairs neighbor was a single guy named Ben who worked nights. Quiet, polite, rarely home during the day. Occasionally, I'd hear thumping around 3 a.m., but nothing alarming. Then one weekend, he went out of town, and the noise didn't stop. I kept hearing pacing, dragging, sometimes even muffled shouting. I thought maybe he'd left the TV on. By the third night, I was fed up. I called the building manager who let me into Ben's apartment. It was empty. No furniture, no electronics, not a single item, not even curtains, just an echoing shell of a unit. Yet the noises, they were still happening. We stood silently in the living room and heard footsteps directly above us. But Ben lived on the top floor. Maintenance checked the crawl space above the ceiling. Inside, they found bedding, empty food containers, and scribbled notes. Someone had been living in the ceiling, not Ben. They found a ladder stashed behind the fire escape. The squatter had been accessing the roof and climbing into the crawl space each night. They never caught him. Story 32. My neighbor had a greenhouse in his backyard. Nothing huge, just a small structure with fogged glass panels. He never let anyone near it, always padlocked, always cleaned the tools before putting them away. One day, a storm knocked over part of our fence and I caught a glimpse inside. Not plants, not vegetables, hair, human hair, hanging in strands from the ceiling like moss. On the floor were planters filled with what looked like flesh-colored roots, growing upward in the shape of human hands. I blinked, thinking it was some weird art project. He caught me looking and slammed the greenhouse door shut. The next morning, the entire structure was gone. Demolished overnight, replaced by fresh sod like it had never existed. When I mentioned it to another neighbor, she just whispered, "You saw it too?" That was all she said. Story 33. We had an eccentric neighbor who was obsessed with security. Dozens of cameras, motion lights, alarms that went off if you got too close to his driveway. He called it the perimeter. One night, his house went dark. No lights, no alarms, even the cameras stopped blinking. The next morning, his front door was wide open. No one had seen him leave. The police were called. They found his living room converted into a control center. Monitors everywhere, tracking local traffic, foot movement, even neighbors' schedules. But his bedroom held the worst part. On the wall were grainy, printed-out stills from the cameras. In each, someone was standing in his yard. A tall figure with no face, always just beyond the property line, always at night. One image was dated 2 days before he disappeared. Another, dated that morning, showed the figure standing in my yard. I checked every camera I owned. Nothing ever caught it. The man was never found. Story 34. I once had a neighbor who played the piano at exactly 6 p.m. every day. Same piece, slow, somber, beautiful. I never saw them, but the music floated through the walls. One night, the music stopped halfway through. That had never happened. I waited, nothing. Eventually, I knocked on the door. No answer, but it was unlocked. I stepped in and found the piano in the center of a pristine room. A single spotlight illuminated it. On the bench sat a mannequin with gloved hands positioned on the keys. There was a tape recorder next to it, playing the music. Behind a curtain in the corner, I found something even worse. Photos. Dozens. All of people sitting at pianos in identical positions. All staged. All dead. Every photo had the same message on the back. They forgot the rest of the song. I reported it. By the time the cops arrived, everything was gone. The room was empty. Except for a single note on the floor. You're next. Story 35. When I was a kid, our neighbor was a woman who worked as a night nurse. Her house always seemed too quiet. No visitors, no movement. Except for one window upstairs that always had the blinds pulled back, just enough for a figure to peer through. It became a running joke with my brother. The watcher's awake. One night during a blackout, we were walking our dog and passed her house. I looked up and saw a flashlight beam flicker in that window. Curious, I waved. The light blinked twice, like it was answering. The next morning, I saw her in the yard and joked, "Didn't know you kept someone up in your attic." She turned pale and said, "No one should be up there." Police searched the attic, found signs of habitation. Clothing, wrappers, empty cans, even books. Someone had been living above her bedroom for weeks. She started crying when they pulled down a notebook labeled House Rules. Rule 1, don't let her see you. Rule 2, only watch between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Rule 3, if she waves, blink twice and move. They never found who wrote it. Story 36. My apartment neighbor, Aaron, was the definition of invisible. Never talked. Never made noise. We honestly wondered if anyone actually lived there. His mailbox always overflowed, and packages stacked at his door went untouched for days. One night, our hallway smoke alarm went off, and I ran out to investigate. Smoke was seeping from under Aaron's door. I banged and shouted. No response. I called the fire department. They broke in and found the apartment completely filled with candles. Hundreds. Some burned down to the base, others freshly lit. In the center of the living room was a mattress with mirrors propped up on all sides, facing inward. And on the mattress, nothing. But the weirdest part was the back wall. It had been turned into a collage of printed internet profiles. Facebook screenshots, dating bios, Instagram grids, all of one woman. She lived three floors above us. When they brought her down and showed her, she broke into tears. She had no idea Aaron existed, but every photo he had of her was taken from inside her apartment. Different angles. Intimate moments. Aaron was never found. Just gone. Story 37. I was mowing my lawn when I noticed something shiny sticking out from under the fence that separated my property from my neighbor's. It looked like a small lens. I crouched down and, to my shock, realized it was a camera. Embedded in the wood, angled right at my bedroom window. I called the police immediately. They investigated and found not just one camera, but six, hidden around the perimeter of my house, all wired underground and linked to a shed in my neighbor's yard. They got a warrant and entered the shed. Inside were walls of monitors, all showing live feeds of multiple homes on our street, bedrooms, bathrooms, kids' playrooms, all wired from cameras hidden in trees, fences, even birdhouses. My neighbor didn't resist arrest. He just smiled and said, "People are always more honest when they think they're alone." He had been watching us for over 5 years. Story 38. I lived in a duplex with a shared laundry room in the basement. My neighbor, Marla, was an older woman who never spoke much, but every time I went to do laundry, she was there, folding things that weren't hers. Holding my socks, inspecting my shirts. One time I walked in, and she was sniffing one of my t-shirts. I froze. She just looked at me and said, "It smells like who you were yesterday." I started doing my laundry at a friend's place. Weeks later, I came home to find my apartment door unlocked. Inside, everything was normal, until I checked my closet. All my clothes had been refolded, everything, Perfect stacks, color-coded, like someone had taken hours inside. I checked the building security footage. She had a key. When confronted, she claimed it was for emergencies. But when the landlord changed the locks, she left a note on my door. "Don't worry, I still remember your scent." She moved out the next month. I moved out the month after.
Story 39.
My neighbor was a local high school chemistry teacher. Friendly, smart, always invited everyone to his backyard barbecues. Total normal suburban guy. Until one night, I was taking my trash out and saw a strange glow through his basement window. Blue, pulsing, erratic. I thought it might be a broken light until I heard something humming. Not like a machine, like a voice. Inhuman, mechanical. Curiosity got the better of me, and I crouched to peek inside. What I saw was a homemade lab, tables of vials and wires, a tank filled with green fluid. Inside the tank was a head, a real human head, suspended, eyes wide open, mouth moving slowly as if trying to speak. I stumbled backward and ran inside, called the police. When they arrived, the basement was empty. No tank, no laboratory, just an old water heater and tools. They found nothing. But 2 weeks later, the teacher vanished, left behind a single page in his kitchen. It still remembers me. Story 40. Growing up, my best friend lived next door. His dad was strict, but nothing out of the ordinary. We'd play outside every day until dark. One summer, his dad built a shed at the back of their yard. Said it was for tools. No one was allowed in. One afternoon, my friend dared me to sneak in. He'd stolen a key. When we opened the door, the first thing that hit me was the heat. The shed was sweltering. Inside were rows of sealed terrariums filled with soil. In each one was something buried, just barely visible. A doll's head, a rubber hand, a child's shoe, all labeled with names and dates. We thought it was just creepy until we saw the last terrarium. No toys. Just a photo of a child taped to the glass. A real photo, black and white. A name underneath, Jamie, 1982. We told a teacher, police investigated. Turns out that name matched a missing child from a cold case in another state. His dad was arrested. My friend was placed with relatives. We never spoke again. But sometimes I dream about that shed. And the names I didn't read. Story 41. I lived in a townhouse complex where the unit next to mine had been occupied by the same guy for almost a decade. Everyone called him Quiet Don. Never made noise, barely left the house, but he paid rent on time and minded his business. Then one day, I came home to flashing lights, police, animal control, hazmat suits. Turns out, Quiet Don had died 2 weeks earlier. No one noticed until a delivery driver reported the smell. What they found inside his house made headlines. Every single wall, floor to ceiling, was covered with cages. Small wire cages, each housing rodents. But not just mice or rats, strange crossbreeds. Some had extra limbs, some were hairless with translucent skin, others had teeth far too large for their heads. There were jars too, preserved organs, labeled like an archive. But the worst part? In the center of the living room was an open cage, the lock broken, straw bedding torn apart, no rodent inside. The police never confirmed what it was meant to contain. Story 42. My neighbor was a former mortician who retired early after a personal incident. He was friendly but intense, never blinked much, always wore gloves, even in the summer. One day, I helped him move a heavy box into his garage. He stepped away for a call and left the door cracked open. I peeked. Inside was a full embalming table, not a replica, the real deal, clean, sterile, ready to use. Around the walls were mannequins. At least I thought they were mannequins, dressed in vintage funeral clothing, but something about them looked too specific, too natural. Later that night, I looked up the names on the boxes he'd left outside. They matched obituaries from the 90s, all children, all buried in a cemetery an hour away. I drove there. Three of the plots were listed as disturbed. I never spoke to him again, and he never left his garage door open after that. Story 43. When I was 22, I rented the basement unit of a house owned by a guy named Ray. Mid-50s, worked in IT. The deal was cheap because he lived upstairs and didn't allow guests. I didn't care. I just needed the space. At first, everything was normal. but I began hearing footsteps at night above me, even though he said he worked overnight shifts. Then I noticed things shifting in my apartment. Drawers slightly open, lights on that I swore I'd turned off. One night I set up a hidden phone to record. The footage made my skin crawl. Ray had a trap door in the pantry floor. At around 2:40 a.m., it opened slowly, and he crawled down into my kitchen, completely naked. He sniffed my pillows, touched my toothbrush, stood inches from my bed, watching me sleep, then crawled back up. I didn't confront him. I called the police and moved out the same day. They arrested him. The trap door was illegal. So was the footage he'd collected, hours of it, of past tenants, all stored on encrypted drives.